Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I am super excited about today's episode because our cosplayer is also a musician and she's also a friend of mine, Bridget Boltz.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I'm really excited.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you.
I'm excited to talk to you.
You're trapped here for 2 whole hours.
I could not be happier to be trapped in any location.
Good. Welcome.
Thanks.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
You play music.
I do.
In a couple of different avenues.
Yeah.
But I know that you play bass a lot for the Ready Set.
I do, yeah. For the performances, the live stuff, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And you write music mm-hmm. as well. Am I missing anything?
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Bass and writing at this point, yeah.
Can you explain kind of what goes into the music writing that you do
yeah.
for people who don't
yes.
know?
Yes. I am not writing for anything really cool. It's like film and TV. So someone is like, oh my God, we're doing this commercial and we need someone to talk about sports. And then we write like the world's most sporty song you can imagine. It's kind of like getting a list of guidelines and trying to like within that create something and then really hoping that someone buys it. But if not, it just gets added to a catalog of stuff that's always there, such as like the egg song.
I have that written down ready and yeah. I was going to ask you that. Uh-huh.
So it's like that. I think luckily, I also get to do some more like fun creative writing. But in terms of things that are more like of a job, it's the egg song and things like that. And which is still really fun. I feel like you get to be creative within a really like weird guideline, mm-hmm. which is right up my alley. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
So lots of like commercials yeah. for TV and stuff like that.
My like goal for some reason was I was like really into like MTV, VMA, like I was so into shows like Rock of Love and like all I Love New York and all that stuff. When that was all happening, I was so into like Teen Mom and 16 and Pregnant. And my goal was like, I'm going to get a song on Teen Mom.
Oh my God.
And now we have many songs on Teen Mom.
No
so my
way.
Dream, my very exciting dream was realized.
That's incredible. Congratulations.
I was like, called my mom, like, I made it. And she's like, she's like, what happened? What did you do? Did you like do something really cool? And I was like, I'm on Teen Mom.
I think that's epic though.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
It's cool. I mean, being on MTV in general is cool.
Thank you.
I think.
I thought it was really cool. And then I told my mom and she's like, that's wow. She's like, you made it. You won a Grammy. And I was like, I made it.
Mama
Boltz. Teen Mom.
Teen Mom.
Yeah.
That's really fucking awesome, though.
Thank you.
You mentioned the egg song. Can you explain mm-hmm. the egg song to
yeah.
the class?
Yes. So how a lot of sync stuff works, which is like, I would say like 90% of the stuff that I've like written on or been a part of more recently is you get this awful email and they can't say anything really directly. They can't be like, this is for this grocery store, but they can say a store that sells food, particularly eggs, really needs a song that encompasses the feeling of buying eggs or mm-hmm. like we're trying to. And a lot of these things, like, they really don't know what they're talking about, but they feel like they do. So they're just like, how do you feel like when you go buy an egg? Like, put that into a song.
Like, eggs are expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, now I feel horrible when I have to buy an egg, but this is like a year ago, so I felt great.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just trying to decipher what that is and then trying to come up with something that feels like you're buying an egg mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. is like that equivalent. And that we ended up, it took 3 people to write the egg song, actually.
Really?
It really shouldn't have. It was, the egg song's crazy. Mm-hmm. It took 3 people and about like 20 minutes and then just putting this song together to hope that a grocery store will buy it to use it for their egg ad. It was really stupid but fun. And then we also did an unreleased explicit rap version of the egg song. So it's like a little jingle. It's cute. But then we also like had to actually have fun with it and throw like a like an uncensored rap on the egg song. That is not, we did not send that out to the grocery store. That's just for us.
That's for you.
That's for you.
Yeah. Can I request that be my ringtone from now on?
Yeah.
On my phone?
Yeah, of course.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'll send it to you.
How do you figure out what emotions these types of things should invoke?
The egg's an interesting one. Usually it'll be something a little easier to go off of. Like it'll be like, how do you feel when you just get a touchdown? Like they're clearly angling for a sports thing or whatever. And from then, at that point, it's really fun to kind of go through and see like what inspires you in that way. Or like when I was watching X, Y, or Z, like what song really stuck out to me as memorable and like listening to all those and going from there. It's easier to think of like an emotion or a sound or something in that way, way less with like an egg. But an egg was really fun to come up with, like, all right, egg is like maybe a nursery rhyme. Egg is something. We're thinking about chickens. Like we're narrowing in on this egg thing. That was actually not the weirdest thing we've had to write.
Really?
Yeah.
What is the weirdest thing you had to write?
The weirdest thing. I mean, the egg is really, really close.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing was like about fish, like bass. Bass fish.
Very specific fish.
What, yeah.
What kind of song are we talking about here?
What kind of country? Which the stuff that I listen to and the egg song, they're very different.
Right.
So the bass country song I'll have to send you is really something. There's really not much else to say other than it's a country song about fish. And fishing.
Okay.
Yeah. That didn't get placed, by the way. That's just sitting there in oblivion.
Are you able to give us any like little snippets of any of these?
Yeah, I can play the egg song for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll text Jordan right now.
Okay.
See if he can send the egg song.
Awesome.
Love. So we'll have it to include.
Perfect. We'll circle back to that one.
Yeah. Can you send chicken or the egg for the podcast? Yeah. I don't know about the bass thing. I'll work on that too.
Okay.
The egg is, I think, more fun.
I love the egg song. I'm really glad. It in my head. Did that get picked up?
I don't know.
That's a tragedy.
That one, I'm not sure. Some of them have like a super long like shelf life. Like they'll try it, email you that they're trying it. They'll be like, we're trying this song as the theme song for this. And then you won't hear back for like 6 months. And then they'll be like, we used it. So sometimes I have no idea.
Gotcha. Do you get paid either way?
It depends.
Okay.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes if the song is like out, we can get streaming revenue for it. But like the egg song, we're not putting the egg song out anywhere. I'm not like, listen to my new single, Chicken or the Egg.
Unless
we decide to do that. But usually it will be, for the most part, paid when it gets picked up. And then there are certain, like, if we do like a publishing deal or something like that, then it won't just be when it gets picked up. The egg song, though, no money from the egg song. It was a free labor of love.
That's terrible because I can hear, it's like such an earworm.
It really is.
Like, I can't think of Chicken or the Egg without hearing you singing it.
That means
a
lot to me. Thank you.
I can't wait to play it for everyone listening.
I hope it's a hit.
Well, so that's your like day-to-day gig for the most part.
Yeah. That's that.
What got you into music? Let's just open it all the way up.
I think we have to start with PlayStation.
Lovely.
Because
okay.
The thing that got me into music was Tony Hawk Pro Skater and my dad.
Okay.
We had a PlayStation. my dad had all the fun games. Mm-hmm. My dad had Call of Duty and all these things. And my brother and I were not allowed to play those. The only game we were allowed to play because, like, we were kids, like, totally fair. But the only one we were allowed to play was Tony Hawk Pro Skater because he was, like, minimal violence. Like, they're falling down, they're bleeding, but, like, it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. So playing a lot of that, and I was like, oh, my God, I love this song. And it was just, like, the worst one on the soundtrack.
Which one was it?
Jerry Was a Race Car Driver, My Practice. And it changed my life. Like, my dad had always played me music that maybe wasn't what was on the radio and stuff. It's not like CDs weren't out. CDs were a thing and have been since, like, the early 80s. Uh-huh. But for some reason, we're doing tapes, like cassette tapes for everything.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't know. But I had a cassette player that was, like, my baby. I would take it everywhere, and my dad would make me these tapes for it. And so the stuff that he was putting on was, like, things I had never heard before. He's putting on Rush and, like, Suicidal Tendencies and stuff. And so I'm listening to this, and I was like, this is amazing. It's show and tell at kindergarten. I'm bringing this. Mm-hmm. And the teacher's like, you're in trouble. Like, you cannot be playing this. So I was like,
oh, you played it out loud for show and tell?
Yeah, I played a song about, like, the illegal drug trade at show and tell in kindergarten on my little thing. And I was like, this is my favorite song. My teacher was like, we're going to talk to your parents. So I was always really into stuff like that. That was maybe just a little more, like, off the wall. And then as soon as I got to hear something that was, like, really weird, I was like, sold. So yeah, Tony Hawk Pro Skater changed my brain chemistry. Mm-hmm. In addition to all of the, like, strange tapes that my dad made me that were very good. Like, everything, love every song on it. Just, like, maybe not what you should play for a child. But I'm happy he did. Loved it. And then, yeah, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 and 3 in particular. So the remakes have been very exciting.
Yeah.
And then Guitar Hero, for some reason, was, like, the other time that I got to hear for the first time music that was, like, of my own taste, you know? Right. Because I loved everything that my dad was playing, and he has such good taste, and I was super into that. But there are some things that I found out that I like that maybe not everyone else does. Mm-hmm. And so I got really, really, really into music because of Tony Hawk Pro Skater and Guitar Hero. The first two times I heard Primus songs, and I was like, you can make these sounds and people will listen to it. That's so fun. And I was obsessed, like, from the second I heard those two songs, which was Jerry Was a Race Car Driver and John the Fisherman by Primus. I was like, this is my life. Like, this is what I want to do. I'm saving up my birthday money to buy a t-shirt that has, like, a bass player on it. I'm like, this is great. Wow. At the time, I had been taking guitar lessons. Mm-hmm. I was really young. I was, like, in fourth grade or something, third grade. And I was like, I love this. My dad had played the guitar when I was a kid. We wrote songs, quote unquote, awful. And then, so I was, like, around it, really, really wanted to play. My mom had signed me up for lessons, very gracious that she did that. But then I saw, you know, I'm playing Tony Hawk, I'm playing Guitar Hero, I'm learning about bass. And I'm like, why am I playing guitar? Like, this is awful and boring. I go in for my guitar lessons, I'm being great student, until one day I see that he has a bass in his office. And I was like, I want to learn that. And he's like, well, your mom signed you up for guitar lessons and not that, so we're not doing that. And I remember I had the, like, check in my hand that I'm supposed to hand him, and I was just like, I want to learn that. I'm like 10, and I'm like, I'm supposed to give you this, and I want to learn that.
Oh my God, that's
so
crazy.
So I started learning bass.
You blackmailed the teacher, and he did it?
Yeah, he was really cool about it. He was like, I'm going to talk to your mom. And I was just like, I don't know if I outright said anything, but I know I was looking at it and looking at him and, like,
Implying
you're that not this could this. Go one way or the other. I can learn that, or I could leave.
So was wanting to learn the bass instead of the guitar motivated by the music then?
Yeah, for okay. sure. I was so into the Primus songs that I had heard that I fully like changed everything. I think before that I was like, Avril Lavigne is so cool and I love wristbands and I love baggy pants. And then I heard that and I was like, oh my God, I have to learn every single one of these songs. It became like my actual life goal was to learn every single Primus song that was out. And so supportive parents, great parents, bought me like the whole music book to like learn everything. Uh-huh. But I had decided that and I'm a kid. I'm a child. I am not yet even, probably not 12.
This somehow feels so on brand for you though.
Yeah, I think so, because another thing that I think is really on brand is embarrassing myself, which is what I did, because I want to learn everything and I'm going like Z to A. I have the whole anthology of like every Primus song and I'm sitting in my room and I have my like stupid little I Love Bass like t-shirt on and I'm like practicing everything and I get to a song and I'm like, this is the best song I've ever heard. I'm a kid. Things are over my head because the song is called Winona's Big Brown Beaver. And I'm like, this is an amazing song about a real beaver that exists. So funny. This is such a funny tune. And I am going around telling everyone that'll listen that I'm learning to play Winona's Big Brown Beaver. And I'm telling my teacher, I'm telling people at school, parents, like anyone. I'm just like, I love bass and I'm playing Winona's Big Brown Beaver. Eventually, my mom sits me down and she's like, you know what you're saying, right? You know what you're saying to people? And I was like, yeah, this song's about a beaver. And like, this beaver's just hanging out. And my mom was like, that's a vagina. You are telling everyone about a vagina. Do you know that you're doing that? And I was like, I've been saying what? To teachers and the principal and every single person that will listen. Immediately like locked in as my deepest memory, like I'm there at the table right now learning that I've been telling everyone about a vagina instead of like this cool song that I'm learning. So that did not deter me, but for a moment I was like, this is awful.
Oh my God.
It's just how that went.
Wow.
Yeah. That's that.
That I felt is crazy.
I was so like, oh God, you know, you're a kid, but you're still like, I can tell how bad that is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a kid, but I can grasp fully that I just like did something embarrassing for my mom for like days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The shame.
Yeah. And she was like on the school board and she had to go in and I just told the whole world that I'm learning about beavers.
Oh my God.
I feel pretty bad for her. But I think it's funny now.
It's the best story I've ever heard.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's incredible. It's an incredible story.
I really think she thought I knew what it was and was just like, why are you telling everyone this? Like, why are you saying that? And I was like, no one told me that. Yeah. That was a vagina.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known either. I mean,
no. And the song is whimsical. Yeah. Like, I would have never thought they were referring to a vagina the whole time.
Yeah.
Oops.
I think that I understand that.
Yeah. You live and you learn.
Still think about that to this day.
It's still there.
As far as like most embarrassing stories go, that one's, it sounds up there.
Yeah, it's up there. I feel like I feel bad for her in that moment, realizing right. how many people she just told about.
You
vaginas.
Could have doubled down.
I could have been like, yeah, and?
Yeah. And?
And what?
Guess what?
And I'll do it again.
I'm doing it again.
I'm going to tell, and now I'm telling the internet.
Right, right. In case everyone didn't hear me the first time, let me make my
I'm
rounds.
Learning a Big Brown Beaver song. And then I did it at karaoke with you.
Oh.
Yeah, that was that.
It's all clicking.
Yeah.
Good.
It's meaningful
this
to me.
This is good. Now I understand.
Yeah, it's really deep and important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I get it. I feel it, you know?
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Hard to top.
I feel like I really just gave you my biggest beaver story. I don't have any more beaver stories for you.
I think one beaver story per episode might be enough. I don't know.
If I think of any more, I'll tell you. But
if there's more, we leave it for the paywall, I would say.
I agree. That sounds fair.
Okay. Okay, amazing. Well, so that's music. What about cosplay? When did you start cosplaying? How did that begin?
Well, I'm not amazing at making anything. Mm-hmm. I have the motivation. I have the thought and I have the passion. The things that I love deep. Like I love something and then that's it. And I love it for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And it's my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. And I want to be such a part of it. But then I try to make it. It's like I'm putting two pipe cleaners together. Like I just can't see the vision and execute it. Mm-hmm. But that also means it's I've tried to make a lot of things and I've been like, that sucked, but it was really fun. Mm-hmm. So I've never been like, I'm professionally doing this, but I've always been like, you know what? It's not beautiful, but I'm having a great time with
and
my
friends.
And
that's what it's about.
Yeah. So I feel like there were a lot of times when I have been like, I love this thing. I want to be this thing. I want to be a part of this community or whatever. And then I've been like, oh my God, everyone's actually really good at this. I'm not really good at it, but I'm having the time of my life. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's how I feel about cosplay. It's also, I think the thing that got me into it, like the first thing that I ever tried to cosplay, as a kid, I watched, I think, the Oron High School Host Club and really resonated with that for some reason. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just got to do all of this. So like, just, I think I put together, I was like maybe a really early teenager, some like awful version of that, took a picture of it in my room, never saw the light of day. It was like, that was fun. Like next, the first like real actual cosplay build that I did was actually 2 anime expos ago. So very recent. Mm-hmm. But
was it the Soul Eater stuff?
Yes. Which Soul Eater's my favorite anime ever. I really, really, really love Soul Eater. It's my favorite. I think probably always will be unless they make another remake of it. And my best friend Courtney had all the time. I will text her and be like, I want to make this. And she'll be like, okay, let's do it. And then I'll be like, no, I can't. And this was the first time that she was like, we're making this. We have a deadline. Come over now. Mm-hmm. And so I made my first like big prop and I made my first, like I made my first wig and styled it in a way that wasn't just like the worst thing that I'd ever done. Like I really learned from her a lot. Mm-hmm. She taught me so many things. I had helped Courtney in the past with like really menial cosplay tasks because she's amazing and she's made so many cool things. And I was like, I really want to be a part of that. She's like, cut out some triangles. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. So just happy to be here type thing. But that was my first, like, I'm making this thing. I'm going to wear it. It's one of my favorite things. And I'm not just going to take some pictures of it very mildly in my room. Like, at a couple conventions before in the past, I had worn stuff that I had like bought. And obviously I'm putting together like hair and makeup stuff, but that was my first really like, okay, this is the time to really do it. I have a supportive group of friends who will be so nice to me, even if it's bad. They won't let it be that bad.
Right.
And that was my first real, I made the whole thing type experience. Because everything, like I had done Ciri from Witcher before a lot in the past because I love her. And that was kind of just like, I bought this, I put it on, I feel great and I feel like a part of it and everything. But my Soul Eater, I did Krona from Soul Eater. It was like the first, I made this with a lot of help from Courtney. And yeah, that was a really, really, really cool and positive experience. It made me want to do it a lot more. Mm-hmm. But then I think I had done on Twitch, for some reason, I did like a week of Halloween costumes and tried to like make them or do it in cosplay. Mm-hmm. And the only one that I can genuinely remember was I did an Among Us crewmate but it was like awful. It was really, really bad. I had hyped it up and I'd been like, I've never done anything like this before. Like, this is. And I was just like, you guys have never seen anything like this. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really going out of my comfort zone. Like, I really tried to be like, this is going to be great. And then I thought it would be so funny to do an Among Us. But I was trying to do everything in like a week, and the Among Us helmet was way too small, and all you could see was like the top of one of my eyes. It was really bad. Just kind of looked like I was wearing a purple backpack and like had mesh. It was awful. And so my like joke that I thought was going to be so funny to reveal my like very like scandalous costume was just awful. It looked like a kid tried to like put together an Among Us in 1 hour. So it wasn't groundbreaking, but it was fun to me.
It sounds hilarious.
Yeah, it was great.
It sounds like a great
for me
bit.
And no one else.
Yeah,
I thought the bit was great.
Yeah,
I don't know if anyone else thought the bit was great, but it's always for me been about passion and less about how it looks.
Right.
I've had a lot of fun being a part of things. Mm-hmm. And just don't look too close. The back of it is no one else's business. Yeah,
I would argue even that the actual costume itself is only a part of cosplay, whereas the makeup and the styling is another part of cosplay.
Yeah,
so that
I like that. That's
makes
reassuring.
Me feel like you do still cosplay and should feel valid about that.
I appreciate
even
that.
Even if you're not
a
working
lot.
On all of the.
I also really feel like the social aspect of it has been really, really, really positive. Mm-hmm. Like anytime I've gone to a convention or anything and you see someone as that character you love or you're the character that someone loves, like the conversations and like the experience of it all, then I'm not thinking like, my wig looks awful in the back. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking like, oh my God, they love Leon too. Like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it's really fun in that way. And
right.
So I've really enjoyed it and gotten out of my head a little bit and just had fun kind of like being around friends. Yeah.
Good.
Thanks.
I love that. I love Courtney too. Shout out Courtney.
Courtney. My girl.
Courtney has helped me.
She's so good at
with
it.
Deadlines
yeah.
before too. If
oh
I
God.
Need to make something on in like a rush, I'm
she's like I got
Courtney,
you.
Please.
Yeah,
come
she
help
just
me.
She can do anything. I'm convinced.
Mm-hmm.
Like
I agree.
I Courtney promo.
Yeah,
for I would do it for the rest of my life for free. Courtney promo.
Uh-huh.
But anything, truly, any little like nerdy dream I've ever had, she's like, okay, we can do it. Like
yeah.
it's great. It's great. It makes me feel like, okay, that very far-fetched Dark Souls armor I want to make, I can just sit in Courtney's house and she'll be like, cut out these triangles and I'm going to teach you how to put that together. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of making Krona's sword from Soul Eater that I was just like, oh, my hands hurt today. Courtney will just do it for me. And she was like, start doing that. She's like so helpful, but also made sure that I learned mm-hmm. how to do it. So I really do feel like I could make something by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to. I just want to make it with my friends because it's really fun.
If it's about the experiences and the friendship of it all, then why not do little craft parties?
I
love
a
craft party.
It was great. I would love to do a craft party with you.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let me get all the workshop stuff all together and then we can all have a little grand opening.
That would be really, really, really fun. I would love that.
Okay.
We do like a theme or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Cool. And then just no one can look at the back of whatever I put together.
Same,
stand in
honestly,
one spot.
Same, same. I don't look at the back of my costume. No one else has to.
It's none
either.
Of my business.
None and of my business.
I'll never see it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not like anyone photographs. It's like working really hard on your shoes.
Yeah. And then they're cropped
in
out.
Photos.
And
yeah.
no one cares.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So what were your like nerdy influences growing up then if you started with Orin Host Club?
I think there are like a couple branches that I could say. Like video games, the first games that I got really, really, really into besides Tony Hawk and Guitar Hero, were the Pokemon games. It was like such a good intro to like finding out what you like about video games, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really convinced that everyone's favorite Pokemon game says a lot about them and can like tell what you like in a game. I really loved, I played all of them. I have to this day never missed a Pokemon game.
Really?
Every game that's come out, I have played out of like a deep, a deep loyalty to Nintendo and to Game Freak. And honestly, every like little side game and stuff, I've just done it. For me, I really loved Gen 3. I loved like Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald. And that was, I feel like, shows that I'm a little freak. The people who like those games are not the people that you want to hang out with.
Really?
Because they're like, why do you like them? Hot people and the Battle Frontier. Those are the reasons.
What is a Battle Frontier?
The like Battle Frontier was an end game thing that you could do in Emerald, and it was just grinding. Like there was nothing you could do besides grind the same things over and over again. And that's what I love about Pokemon games. I love, I'm gonna hunt this shiny Pokemon for the next 24 hours. Like that type of thing. I love it. And that's like sick and wrong. Like that's not good. But people who are like, I love Crystal, it's like, oh, you like good games? Like, oh, you're in it to have fun. But people who are like, I like the Battle Frontier, like you're sick. Like you're and I'm there right there with you.
Let's meet in therapy.
Let's meet in therapy. We can talk about who our favorite legendary is.
Oh my God. Okay, so I'm curious then, what if somebody's favorite Pokemon game is X and Y?
I think that that person might be gay.
Why?
The lore of that game is so gay.
In, what if you in just the most like riding bikes?
Positive way possible.
What do you mean? Explain yourself.
The characters that they introduced, that's... And I love, like, I should preface, I work in gay, like, but that whole generation, I think you need to, like, really think deep about yourself if that's your favorite. Also, incredible soundtrack. I think if you like X and Y, you know a good soundtrack when you hear it. I also think it's, like, you're kind of into, like, dark stuff. Like, I feel like the when you really look at the themes of X and Y, like, that was fucked up. And we're supposed to be, like, kids experiencing all this. That was dark. X and Y had some of the, like, creepiest legendary Pokemon ever. Like, that's sick. That was sick. Anyway.
Yeah.
I had a lot of feelings about
this. I don't know the story.
It was just intense. And I was like, we're children. And these are, like, gods. And we're dealing with a lot right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
what
great
about
games.
The original trio.
I think that is safe and really good. Like, if you like the original trio, you might be like a purist. You might not want to like. You might not love like Rangers, Pokemon Rangers. You might not love like the Mystery Dungeon. You might be like, why are we doing this? You also might not be that into Pokemon. Yeah, I think you're gonna get one or the other. If someone's like, I love the original games. Either like their Pokemon is their life and that was just what got them into it, or that's literally all they know, which is totally fine either way. It's all good. Like I love all of it. But
this is
I just know
so enlightening. I feel like I'm watching one of those TikToks that's like what your astrology sign says
and I'm
about
just like,
you or something.
I feel really deeply about this.
No, I love it. I'm gonna throw you a curveball.
Okay.
What if Pokemon Snap is your favorite Pokemon game?
Oh, I think you're really cool. I think you're cool as hell if Pokemon Snap is your favorite game. I also think you don't get motion sick because that game is brutal.
Yeah, it is.
I thought I was gonna die. Especially the remake too. I was like, I can't play this. I need to put on my goggles or whatever. Take a Dramamine. But I think
that just like in front of the TV with like
Pokemon
the wrist.
Snap. Yeah, yeah. With my little things behind
the
my
pressure
ears.
Points.
Doing my deep breathing exercises.
All the cruise stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But Pokemon Snap is so fun. And I also think if you're not into Pokemon, you could still really enjoy Pokemon Snap.
I think that one's my favorite.
It's so fun. Did you play the new one on Switch? It was so fun.
It was so fun.
I loved the underwater parts more than anything. It was great.
Yeah. And I would say a good and a bad thing about me as a gamer is that I will simply never stop. If I want to do something, I'm just going to keep trying until I do it. So I put too many hours into just like the exact same route over and over again.
And going really slowly, yes, trying to get the perfect photo of every single Pokemon.
Yeah.
I really respect that a lot.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Great. This is such good information. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. And so that was video games. What
about
that
was like the intro to video games. I really like threw Pokemon games, specifically the like third generation of them, mm-hmm, learned like what I like in a game, so that I really don't mind like grinding a game until there's something exciting. Like I really don't mind putting in a ton of hours. I love a game like that. From then on, I played a lot of like Skyrim, I think is probably a good one for that everyone is like, I remember and I love Skyrim. That was really big for me, realizing like I love RPGs. Mm-hmm. And then it just goes from there. I remember the first, like, I'm really, really, really into FromSoft games, which I believe you're aware of. But the first time that I played Bloodborne altered me as a person. And I was like, I don't mind suffering. In fact, I enjoy it. And I know a lot of people don't feel that way. But I think that learning that, like, oh my God, this is really fun for me personally, it changed, mm-hmm, a lot and opened me up to a lot of other games too. Mm-hmm. And like a huge, huge fan of The Witcher games. And that really kind of like those set me on a path to really, really long story games with a lot of misery. I really like having a horrible time.
Yeah. I mean, sounds like an Emerald player. Am I right?
Sounds like a Battle Frontier. But besides games, the things that I got into that were nerdy that like started changing my life, I would say music nerd. So getting into like any type of music that was a little more alternative, mm-hmm, I got really a big freak about that. I became a freak about that. Still am. Currently about a ghost. Mm-hmm. But yeah, anything like that. I do love anime, but I haven't watched a lot recently. I have a lot that are like near and dear to my heart that I'll go back and rewatch a lot. Mm-hmm. But anything that maybe has come out in the past 5 years, like if it came out and Elden Ring was out, I haven't watched it. Like I've been busy. Mm-hmm. But I really loved Soul Eater. That was the first thing that I'd watched The Host Club. Great stuff. Mm-hmm. And just kind of whatever I could find that was on TV.
Right.
And then I was like, oh my God, you can illegally watch anime online on Kiss Anime.
Allegedly.
And I started, allegedly, I would never do that or suggest it. But found a lot of stuff on there and then was kind of like opening my eyes to what wasn't just on late at night that I could watch on the TV. Mm-hmm. Death Parade is like top. Like in the circle of things that I love, mm-hmm, which is filled with Leon Kennedy and a couple other things, is Death Parade and Soul Eater, I think, are like my two favorite anime things.
I've heard a lot about Death Parade, but I have not.
It's really
seen
short.
It.
It's 12 episodes. They're perfect. Like perfect.
Yeah.
But I've never cried harder in my life. And every time I watch it, I cry the same amount. And every time I watch it, I take a picture of how hard I'm crying. And they just get worse. Like, it's beautiful, beautiful, uh-huh, crying, but like heartbreaking in a, uh-huh, really good way. Like, important watch, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people are telling me to watch Free Ren and telling me about how beautiful it is and how I'm going to cry. And that's why I haven't watched it. Right. I don't want to cry anymore.
Exactly.
I cry enough. I'm an emotional person.
I feel the same way. I see someone eating alone. I'm crying. Like, I can't do like seasons of that. So 12 episodes I could like sign up for. It's short. It's great. Yeah.
I will take your word for it.
I love it.
You mentioned that you play The Witcher 3. I have a very important question for you.
Yeah.
I believe your favorite games are The Witcher 3.
Yes.
Fallout New Vegas and Dark Souls 3.
I love The Witcher 3.
Okay.
I love Dark Souls 3.
Uh-huh.
I hate Fallout.
You hate Fallout New Vegas?
Here's my...
Marika, you're fired.
Listen, but it's become like a meme, so I get it. Like, I used to stream on Twitch a bit, and I Here's my beef.
Uh-huh.
I loved... Oh, wait, sorry. Fallout New Vegas, I love. I thought you said Fallout 76. Oh my God. No, I love New Vegas. Oh,
Marika, you're hired again.
Yeah. So sorry. I thought you said 76. I hate 76 and 4. I love New Vegas. And okay. I love 3.
Okay.
We're good.
Okay. We're back,
I don't know why
guys.
I
We're
heard
back.
That and I was
We're
like...
Back.
No. New Vegas is great. Love it. Yeah.
Are these still your favorite games?
At this point, I mean, for a while, I think Dark Souls 3 and Bloodborne were like tied for me and I couldn't pick. Mm-hmm. But then I became more of a freak and I realized that Bloodborne is it. I don't have a Dark Souls tattoo, but I do have a Bloodborne tattoo. And I have 2 Witcher tattoos, nothing for Fallout yet. But I do really love 3 and New Vegas. Mm-hmm. I would say now, like a top 3 would probably be, this is going to get like specific, but I'd go Bloodborne, The Witcher 3 DLC.
The Blood and Wine DLC?
Blood and Wine and the Hearts of Stone. Did you play those?
I haven't. They're and I have had it on so my good. List for like years
I
now.
I really can't recommend enough. Like, I love the base game so much. Like, with my whole heart, I have so much love for the Witcher series, everything. But the DLC, I feel like, are perfect, especially if you have 8 hours, just like 8 hours and you need to play something, the Hearts of Stone DLC is perfect. It is has everything. It has, like, the funniest quest I've played in any game ever, and then the most fun action quest, and then, like, it throws you into, like, a deep, profound thinking and kind of scary, too. You get everything with, like, a beautiful conclusion and a really cool weapon. Big fan. So I'd say, like, Bloodborne, those specific Witcher expansions, and then the third one will change every time. Like, it will literally just be whatever I'm currently playing. Like, right now, I don't know, what did I just play? I just replayed Inscription. So right now, I'm like, that's the best thing I've ever played.
I love Inscription.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'm such a, like, the last thing I did is the coolest thing that's ever happened.
Me too.
Like, the last movie I've seen is the only movie I've ever seen. Whatever's fresh is my favorite thing.
Yeah. Just we're just a girl, you know?
Yeah, and then we're just doing our best with what we have.
We're just doing our best.
We also don't think thoughts or whatever. So, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I completely... this is so relatable. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Of those three games, then, Witcher, New Vegas, and Bloodborne, then, what would you do for Fuck, Marry, Kill?
Like, the characters or the games themselves?
The games themselves.
This is so hard. They're all kind of awful situations to be in.
Yeah.
Like...
I love this question.
This is a really, really good question. Because if it's, like, the essence of the games, like, Fuck, Marry, Kill, the essence of Witcher 3, Fallout New Vegas, and Bloodborne.
Yeah, let's go vibes.
Okay.
Let's go off vibes.
I think the most positivity you could get would be in Witcher. Like, there's still a lot of awful things happening. But I think also there's the most sex in that game. So if you're going to have sex, you could realistically have that in or with The Witcher 3. So that would be Fuck. I would marry Bloodborne because I have a deeply unhealthy emotional attachment to it. And then I would kill New Vegas because
it's
I
not
love
Bloodborne.
It so much, but it's also a Bethesda game.
God, that's so true.
Yeah.
Why do you hate 4 so much?
I think because I loved 3 and New Vegas so much, and I really loved the stories of them, that when 4 came out, I was just disappointed by it, and not even in a very big way. I was just only mildly disappointed, but at that point, I was really, really deep into my, like, Bethesda, really deep into all of those things, and, like, 3 and New Vegas, like, not everything is Bethesda, not every, like, different studios and different whatnot, but, like, I feel like those were very similar in, like, how deeply the stories were entwined with everything, and then I got to 4, and I was like, why am I bored? It made me mad. And I now I think could really appreciate it for what it is, but I was so passionate about Fallout at the time, and then I played 4, and I was like, I hate this. And it became like a whole joke, because I think I had mentioned it one time on stream that like, if I play a game and I don't like it, I just don't finish it. Mm-hmm. But so Fallout 4 was the only thing that I had like played and finished and been like, I still didn't love it. So it was like, oh, that's my least favorite game. Mm-hmm. And then it became to the point where I would like stream and people would be like, when are you playing Fallout 4? Or like, open a P.O. box, we'll send you Fallout 4. Like, just all of these things. Uh-huh. And now it has to be my enemy for that reason.
Okay.
It's still like a good game. I just didn't love it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I hate it.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Got it. I'm there with you.
The fuck, Mary, kill was crazy.
It was, that was really great. Funny. I saw that earlier and was like, that's so perfect.
Yeah. That's a good one to think about.
Yeah.
What would you pick? Just that note.
My top three games?
Yeah, to fuck, Mary, kill.
My three favorite games are probably BioShock as a franchise.
Yeah.
The Last of Us Part 2. Probably specifically. And then probably Halo, just for the like nostalgia of it all and like the comfort that it brings me.
Yeah.
But I would, out of those three, have to kill Halo.
I understand.
Out of those options.
Right.
You know what I mean? I would probably, just based on vibes alone, would marry The Last of Us and BioShock.
I would agree completely.
Just based on vibes, like, and I don't know that I can explain.
I'm thinking about Booker.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, it has to be you.
Yeah.
It can't be anything else.
It seems like BioShock is more of a lust and Last of Us is more of a love.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you said
get it?
That.
You get it?
I felt like I was going to be the odd one out.
Yeah,
but we're on the same page.
I got you. I got you.
Cool.
I got you. That's what I would say, I think.
Yeah.
When did you stream? Do you stream anymore or no?
So this is really crazy. The first time I ever streamed was I cannot believe this is a thing, but I took a webcam and I put it on my Nintendo DS and I streamed myself giving away shiny Pokemon like 15 years ago, maybe. Like, I don't know a specific time, but
oh my God.
Made an account and I would catch shiny Pokemon and then
I would just give them away. That's crazy.
And it was awful. My internet was bad. It was literally a shaky webcam because I was nervous and I was just like wonder trading shiny Pokemon away. And I was just like, I hope you get this. And like, no one was watching, but I was like, I hope that anyone watching this gets this shiny. Like, it was rough.
Oh my God.
But I did that. Amazing. I did that for like a week of just until I had no more shiny Pokemon. And then I was like, my streaming career is over.
No.
And then after that, me and my friend Hannah Ray Ninja, who know, we got invited to be a part of some like charity stream thing, and we were playing a lot of League of Legends at the time. I don't remember the specific thing, but we did a stream playing League for charity, and then I was like, this is kind of fun. But then all I had was a MacBook for a while, and so during that phase, I would play League on my trackpad for like 3 years. I don't know.
For
but
3 years?
But I played ranked on the trackpad, and I was just – I would sit in bed and play League on my trackpad.
Bridget.
It was awful. And I know I could just plug a mouse in. Like, I know I could have done that. But I was like, this is how I learned. This is how I have to play League. And I was ranked the highest I've ever been. I was playing on my trackpad.
Bridget.
I know.
I'm so confused.
So I was like, I would love to stream this, but
I'm
I can't.
I'm speechless right now.
I would love to stream this, but it's impossible.
I'm
using all my resources just to play this game. Yeah.
Was it like a two-hand situation?
Yeah, I was in there.
Did you move and click and then move your hand?
Yeah, I was like constantly working.
This is insane.
It was the hardest thing I've ever done.
The most insane thing I've ever heard you say.
I did
more insane than the beaver story, I think.
I would do it as like a party trick too, which is so embarrassing. I would be hanging out with people in my early 20s and pull out my laptop and be like, just going to play an ARM real quick.
Not Wonderwall. trackpad.
No, like, I was like, watch this. I would go like a very average score, but it was, I felt proud because I was
that
on my
trackpad.
That is
so funny.
So I streamed again when I got like a PC that wasn't my Mac.
Wild that it was like a point of pride too. Like you could have just gone to Walmart and gotten like a $5 mouse.
I had a mouse.
You had one available.
Yeah, I had a cool mouse pad too.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wow. That is crazy.
That was rough. It was a dark time for my like gaming, but surprisingly, it was actually really good for my rank, which is just crazy.
If it works, then
it goes to show that anyone can play Zyra.
Well,
you don't even have to have a computer.
Wait a second. Hold on.
I love her. And
I love Zyra.
To this day, she's my favorite to play too.
Yeah.
I love her.
Me too.
I was mostly playing Orianna at the time of the trackpad. So
you played Orianna on the trackpad?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's this loud. That's the loudest I've ever been on this podcast.
Orianna?
Hold on. I'm an adult.
Hannah can vouch because I would go to her house and we would sit there and I would play on my trackpad.
Wow.
Yeah,
so, Orianna is hard to play with a mouse for everyone who doesn't play League and is watching or listening.
I had like just, again, with like grinding things, I was like, well, I'm just going to play until I can play this on my trackpad.
Wow.
So I would just do so awful. People are in chat being like, you're the worst person that's ever played this game. And then I was like, now after 100 hours, I could do it.
Well, earlier when you were like, the people who like this game, they're freaks. Yeah. That's me. I was going to be like, no. Now I'm like, yes. Yes, you are.
Yeah, you're a little freak, a little weirdo.
That's so funny.
But yeah, God. I did stream again after that. I streamed for a little bit around the pandemic because I was working at a tattoo shop at the time as like a day job thing, which was super fun. Loved it. Loved the tattoo shop. But then COVID makes it so you can't go in and deal with biohazard materials. So the shop was closed for like an indefinite amount of time. And I was like, what am I going to do? This was fun. I'm just going to play games on my PC. And I did have a lot of fun streaming. There were a lot of really fun moments that I had with it. There's something so fun about playing a game with people who also really like that game. And I know that like the experience of something really funny happening and people seeing it and laughing with you, and then I can be like, it's not just me. I didn't encounter this bug alone and giggle about it. Like we all encountered this bug and giggled about it.
Totally.
So that was great, but I haven't done it in a while. I would like to do it again, but it's also kind of intimidating, you know?
Yeah. If you haven't done it in a while, it's one of the hardest things to pick up. I feel like it's a lot about the steam of like the ball rolling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I think for me, I got really wrapped up in like, I guess, trying to make it better and better and better instead of just having fun with it. And I was just like, well, if I don't have this, then I don't even want to stream. Like if if my camera is this ass, like I don't even want to stream it. I don't want to. There were so many things that were just kind of getting to me. And I kind of was like, I don't like the internet in general right now. And then now that it's become more like positive, I think it would be fun to get back into. Just it's just like there's something really funny about Twitch too. Twitch chat is hilarious.
Yeah.
Twitch chat is so funny.
They're our biggest bullies and our biggest supporters.
And
all
I would have the funniest people in there. And I would just learn so much about people. And then I would be like, I wonder what they're doing today. Like, I need to know if they got pepperoni pizza like they were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, like, that was really fun. That whole community experience was cool.
I think you could have the same attitude as cosplay where you just do it.
We're just having fun. Just having fun with friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you would be really fun to watch if you did stream again.
You're really fun to watch. My favorite channel.
Thanks.
But it's actually true. I watched you play that Indiana Jones game and it convinced me to buy it because I wanted to hit people from
it was so funny.
It killed me.
It was really funny.
It killed me. I got influenced.
Yeah.
I also got influenced to buy and play the Slay the Princess game from your stream.
That was also so fun.
It was really cool.
I love playing games together. I think like me and my younger brother did that all the time where we would play
too.
And like one person would be like the couch
yes.
helper.
Like, we're together playing this. Mm-hmm. You might have the controller, but like, we're doing this.
But we are
together.
Playing. Yeah. Yeah. And I remember like the original Resident Evil. I rented from Blockbuster. I don't know why my parents let me do
they
that.
They were like, have fun.
Yeah. But they also not only like rented it from Blockbuster, but bought the guidebook.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I know.
They set you up for success, actually.
Crazy yeah. parenting choice, but that's I am cool. grateful. but one of us was the, like the book reader.
Yeah, like,
yeah, yeah.
We
okay,
have to go through like, this story. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And the other person was the controller. And especially Resident Evil, we yeah. would trade.
Oh, it's such a good one to trade yeah. off with. I feel like all of the Resident Evil games are fun to play with people.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun alone, obviously, but like, a couch full of people trading mm-hmm. off playing Resident Evil is unparalleled.
Yeah.
It's such a fun experience.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have a guidebook for pretty much anything, which made me really upset. But what I would do was go on the computer at the local public library and uh-huh. print out the, like, you know, the really old game FAQ.
Yes! Yes!
I would print them out because for Pokemon Emerald, you had to learn Braille. Crazy. And so I was like, I'm going to learn Braille today. And my family's like, for what purpose? And I was like,
and
well, I need to catch
video games rot our brains.
I learned. I was like, well, I need to catch Reggie Ice. And so they were like, great, go learn Braille. So I had like printouts, but not the real deal. That would have
so
been
funny.
Cool. Looking back, I would have loved a guide.
Was the first like three pages of the printout the cool text
yes.
emoji
that yeah.
was
yes.
the beginning of the guide?
And like a million slants yes. and everyone's username uh-huh. and just like made by and then like four pages of people,
oh my God,
emojis
amazing.
And random slants. Yeah.
I loved that website.
Yeah. It was great. I don't know if it still exists.
It has to.
I think it has to.
It can't not.
I just thought, like, the pure white background, black text, like Arial font teaching mm-hmm. me what direction to go mm-hmm. in a cave mm-hmm. was like profound. And I thought everyone who ran that or contributed was the smartest person alive.
Yeah. Like the note.
I was like, I will never figure out how to get through this uh-huh. without you.
Yes. Oh my God. No, it was amazing.
It was game changer.
I agree. I loved game FAQs. There was a place I was going with this. Oh. Speaking of Resident Evil,
yeah.
I'd like to talk to you about your Leon Kennedy obsession.
I would love to talk about
okay.
Leon Kennedy in any capacity.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Why is it that you love Leon Kennedy so much? Because that is, I feel, a staple of your personality.
I hope so.
He's like on your phone case.
Yeah.
He might be your wallpaper.
He is. But it's a couple. It's Leon. Bloodborne Leon.
Okay.
Berserk Leon again. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this on uh-huh. the drive over.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, Danielle asked me about Leon.
You knew I was going to ask you.
And then I was thinking, why Leon?
Why Leon?
Well, I would like to start by saying every fictional crush I've had is on the bad guy. Always.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the worst person in mm-hmm. any piece of media. It's always the one who you're like, that's fucked up. And then you're, I'm just like, you know, I watched Berserk and I was like, Griffith is, you know, stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. it's always that.
Yeah.
It was Griffith. And so later I was like, I love Dr. Stein. Even like everything that you should not think, I was
yeah.
like, I'm thinking that. And so mm-hmm. then I experienced Leon and I'm like, oh my God, he's an angel. That's an angel boy. Like in Resident Evil 2, I'm like, I need you. And so it was my first like good guy.
Yeah.
Because usually I'm just like, if they have white hair and they're evil, that's it.
That's
all
me.
I need. And then I'm like, oh my God. And it was character development for me to be like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's perfect. I love, first of all, got some beef with Capcom, crazy choices that they make sometimes. But ultimately,
mm-hmm.
I love the character. Like,
mm-hmm.
I love Leon. I love
mm-hmm.
the development they've had with him through everything, even if they like backtrack on things and like, whatever. I love it. I
mm-hmm.
love Leon. He's also like beautiful. If you could just like put together the perfect character.
Yeah.
And then you were like, oh, also he's so hot. Like, that's how I feel about Leo.
Yeah,
the, like, but it was my first, hair. Yeah, the flippy hair, the voice, mm-hmm. like, everything's incredible. It was really, though, the first time that I was like, this is a piece of media and that's not the villain and I love them. Like,
how do you feel about Wesker then?
But I also like Wesker.
Okay, I was going to say light hair, evil.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm pretty, I've done Wesker Wednesdays. I'm pretty into Wesker, but in a way that, like, is just kind of, oh, obviously Wesker's hot, but for Leon, I'm like, that's my man. Like, that's the boy for me.
Right.
That's like, Leon, you take home to your parents. Wesker, you're just like, no one knows about this. I'm not telling anyone that we did this.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have like a wholesome love for Leon, but also it's not wholesome.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So the obsession started in Resident Evil 2.
I think so.
And just ramped from it there, ramped, would you say?
I would say there are things that bring it more, like, back. And then there are things that I'm just like, that there are other characters or things that will grab me. And then I'm just like, oh, I can't believe. Like, right now, I'm watching Supernatural for the first time, which I've never seen before. Okay. And so now I'm like, oh my God, I'm thinking about them. Like, sorry, Leon. Like, I feel bad. I'm just like, he's always there. But sometimes things like the 4 remake, he's back in full force. The 2 remake, he's back in full force. Death Island, he's so back better than ever.
Mm-hmm.
He's back with brown hair and arm hair. Like, that's crazy. I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, like, anytime a new Leon thing comes out, I'm so in. And then I'll be like, oh, there's this. And then I always go back to Leon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it definitely started with 2. Even the, like, blocky ass character, like, the blocky, shitty 2, like, I was still, that's the guy.
That's on great writing, too, I feel.
Yeah.
I get it, though. I feel like Leon's captured the hearts of millions.
I agree. And then Leon's got some haters, too, but I have a lot to say to them.
That's right.
That's right.
Do you feel like he belongs with anyone specifically in the Resident Evil franchise? Fair. That is fair.
No, I see a lot. I see a lot of.
Are you a Leon shipper of anyone specifically?
Not really. I'm not really, like, specifically. For me, I'm looking at Leon, I'm like, no, that's for me. Like, that's not for anyone else. But I really don't care. Like, I know a lot of people get really, really, really heated about,
yeah,
like,
that's why
they're like,
I
hate Ada, or like, I hate Claire, or like,
I know a lot of
Ada like,
haters.
Chris, you know, like, there are so much. I think that you could make a point for anything. Mm-hmm. I think that Capcom leaves it open-ended too. Mm. I think that there's so much love for Leon that if they put him into one specific situation, they'd be like, shooting himself in the foot. Because they're like, Leon and Ada, endgame, so many people would be like, no! But
yeah,
same with Claire.
Right.
I really don't mind. It's all hot.
You know what? Facts. That's probably my number one Bridget fact that I know about you. So much so that I was at a convention last October called Nightmare Weekend.
Yeah.
And it's like a subsidiary of GalaxyCon. It's my Bridget story time. Mm-hmm. And we were there, and the cosplayer, there were only a couple of cosplayers, but there were a lot of, like, horror video game voice actors and horror actors in general, traditional actors. And I noticed across the way that
across the bar I saw
I liked me and my husband like your vibe. the cosplayers were across from the Resident Evil voice actors. And so, like, Maggie was there, the Lady D.
So cool.
And Leon's voice actor, Nick, and I cannot pronounce his last name, but it starts with an A.
It's great. Greek or something.
Yes. Yeah. Was over there, and it happened to be like a slower convention, and I kept telling Amanda and Morgan, like, we have to get Bridget a video from Leon, like, you know, like, we have to get, like, a video message from him. And come to find out throughout the weekend, I have a friend named Jenna who does voice acting too, and she was there. And she was like, oh, Nick, that's my friend. I'll go ask him. And I was like, are you kidding me? So he agreed to do it. She came back, told us the good news. And then she was like, he said to make it as unhinged as possible to give him like a list of things that Bridget likes.
Yeah.
So we were like scheming for the whole day. Like, what can we tell Leon to say to Bridget? And it was the chicken and the egg song we included. Oh, we included the fuck shit bitch song, I believe, as well.
I haven't talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll let you know about that.
Yeah. Which is like
I forgot he did mention that.
Yeah. Like a song you wrote. Yeah.
He said it all in Leon's voice too. So mm-hmm. when I was a kid, I didn't want to forget any swear words that I heard because I was just like, this will come in handy. So every time I heard a new one, I would add it to this song, which was not even like a song. It was like, ship is dick ass bitch. And it just goes like for everything.
Like the states.
Yeah, basically like the capitals. I think I had told Morgan about that or something. And she was like, that's groundbreaking. And now Leon knows and sang it. Full circle, really.
He also talked about Wesker Wednesdays, yeah. which is a fan fiction
installment.
Yeah, that you and a bunch of people write every Wednesday a new chapter to.
Mm-hmm. He mentioned everything.
Yeah.
Like, Nick was very thorough.
What a champ.
A real champ.
Yeah.
Way too cool
Absolutely
for doing that.
Absolutely crushed
You
it.
Are way too cool for doing that. I cannot believe, like, when I went over to your house and you were like, I have to show you something.
Uh-huh.
Nothing could have prepared me for Leon Kennedy talking about my childhood swearing song, my Wesker Wednesday, and like 3 minutes worth of stuff. I'm watching mm-hmm. this video and I start shaking because I'm just like, I've never been more overwhelmed. It's all my interests.
Really did
and they've collided.
It, too.
It was so well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I could have done that for you. I was getting concerned that because you were in Japan at the time and Amanda was like, we should text Courtney. And I was like, no, don't text Courtney because Courtney's with Bridget right now in Japan and she's going to tell her. And then come to find out, they texted Courtney anyway. And I was like, guys, no, because I didn't want you to find out. So I'm glad that it was.
I'm really bad with surprises. Like I will somehow find out because if I know that anything's happening, I'll be like, I gotta know what that is.
Yeah.
I've never been more surprised than when the Leon video was revealed to me. Like I've never been more surprised. And I also had like adrenaline for hours because I was like, Leon said that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Fired up.
Okay. Well, Bridget, on that note, on the Leon Kennedy of it all, thank you so very much for joining me today. I appreciate you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. It was really fun.
I also had a lot of fun.
Thanks.
Do you have any projects or anything coming up in the foreseeable future that you would like to plug?
I do. Uh-huh. I do. I've always been like really passionate about wanting to put out an album of just something that I've done, like not chicken and the egg, like just something that is like all my favorite stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally started working on it. So I don't know when or anything, but after like years of being like, I can't, no one cares. I've been like, okay, well, I care. So I'm going to do that.
You should.
That's all that
God,
I have
so
of
exciting.
It. But I will be doing that.
Wow.
So there will be a project that should be fun and won't be for like eggs or anything other than just like stuff that I like. So
I would like to petition for a bonus track.
Yeah. Like an extended cut with the egg song.
Yes.
Cool. I'll take that and
think about it. Just think about it.
I'll consider it. That's a great idea.
Cool. What are your social media handles so people can watch for the album?
I would have loved to be creative, but I'm not good with usernames. So it's all just my actual name. It's just Bridget Boltz. B-R-I-D-G-E-T BOLTZ. I really thought I'd come up with the coolest, unique username.
Me too.
And I didn't.
And I also didn't.
But everyone, I've gotten a lot that people think that my name is not real anyways.
I didn't think that your name was actually that until this moment.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it is. And so I was accidentally doxing myself for a really, really, really long time. And then I realized that, like, no one knows. And also, like, everyone is like, that's not real. You made that up for internet. And I was like,
right.
I hope you continue to think that way. Anyway.
It is real. And now you
legally
told everyone.
Who cares?
Well, thank you
thank
very much
you.
For being here.
Thank
I
you so much.
I love you, Poinsett.
I love you, Poinsett.
I would like to transition to Patreon.
Okay.
Now, by talking about books and your love for books.
That's great.
Specifically a story that involves audio books and Audible.
Yes.
Because you are actually the one who told me to listen to an audiobook that I talked about with Cheyenne called Morning Glory Milking Farm.